Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store. This weekend's message is from Tyler McKenzie. He's the lead pastor here at Northeast.
Today in our message, sometime during the message, like right now you can do it, immediately after the message you can do it, I want you to go to necchurch.org/anywhere, and we want everyone to sign up to host watch parties beginning next week. Did you say everyone? Yes, I said everyone. I mean, I'm talking people who are a part of our church family, people who aren't, people who are in the Louisville area or any of our Northeast campuses all across the country. I know some of y'all are in Florida, some of y'all are in Louisiana, some of y'all are in California. We've talked throughout the week, and I think it's so cool to see us spreading our reach across the country. We want you to participate in this as well. Even if you're not a Christian, but you're searching for Jesus and you've been with us, this is an opportunity for you to really throw your trust into him and see what he's all about. We want everyone, necchurch.org/anywhere, everyone, to sign up to host watch parties because this is our reopening strategy. This is it. Now, for those of you who weren't here last week, you need to go back and listen to the sermon because last weekend we laid out for you all of the governmental regulations for what reopening church looks like in Kentucky. And if you remember, it was quite a lot. Let me recap for you very briefly, all right, very briefly. If we were to host church here, we'd have to do 9 services and some sort of ticketing system in order to make sure we stay at 33% capacity. There would be no children's environments. They'd have to come in here with us. We would have to wear masks and stay 6 feet apart. There'd be no passing the offering plates or the communion plates. No commons area where you can chit-chat, hug, shake hands. No, none of that. No greeting one another with a holy kiss. That verse didn't age well. And we'd have to sanitize the room after every single service in order to prepare for the next service. Oh, and also, no bathrooms. That's right. Well, actually, they didn't say no bathrooms. You can have bathrooms, but if you do have bathrooms, only one person can go in at a time, and we have to sanitize the whole thing after. Okay, and let me just go ahead and tell you this. If we were to do 9 services, you need to know that I would not be preaching live at all 9 services. Listen, I love you guys, and I got a whole lot of energy, and I have the capacity to drink a whole lot of coffee, trust me, but I'm not going to do it. So chances are you'd be coming into this room to just sit here and watch a screen for 30 minutes. And you tell me, what makes that any better than the environment that you are experiencing right now? The answer is nothing. In fact, the environment you're experiencing right now is better than that. So it just didn't make a whole lot of sense for us to reopen at this point. Doesn't. We think the experience would be diminished in terms of excellence. It would be diminished in terms of faithfulness. It would be diminished in terms of safety. Getting hundreds together in this room is not nearly as safe as gathering 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people in your home. And it would be a humongous resource spend on an hour on the weekend during a season when we believe the Love the Ville Church should be pointing its resources outwards to meet the desperate needs of our community. So, what's the solution for us right now? Well, the solution is for you today to go to necchurch.org/anywhere. That's necchurch.org/anywhere. And we want everyone. Even if you don't plan on hosting a watch party next week, you're like, oh, I'm going to wait till July and just see how it goes in June. That's fine. We still want everyone. Even if somebody else in your family or somebody else in your group are going to host the first couple watch parties and you're going to host like watch party 3, 4, 5, a few weeks down the road, it doesn't matter. We want everyone who ever might even think about hosting a watch party anywhere in your home, in a parking lot, in a cul-de-sac, everyone to sign up today, necchurch.org/anywhere. And I'm going to tell you more about exactly why we need you to sign up in just a little bit. Now, I can think of a few things that illustrate one of the core tenets of our church better than a season in which we get an opportunity to do church outside of this building. Because we've been saying this for several years now, haven't we, church? We've been saying that church isn't a place. This is the New Testament understanding of church. It's not a building. Church isn't a place, it's a people on mission together. And sometimes we confuse that. Okay, so how do I explain this to you? This would be like somebody coming to your house, stand in front of your house and looking at your house and saying, wow, what a beautiful family you have. To which you would say, the family is not the house. The family goes into the house and they stay in the house sometimes. They gather in the house. But the family, I think you're confused here, because the family's not the house. This would be like them coming into your living room and looking at the recliner and saying, wow, what a beautiful husband you have. To which you would say, beautiful is not a word I've ever used to describe him. But yes, the husband spends time in the recliner, quite often actually, too much time. But the husband is not the recliner, and the recliner is not the husband. You know that, right? This would be like somebody coming into your nursery and walking up to the crib and scratching the crib like, oh, Gucci, Gucci, scratch it and saying, oh, what a cute baby you have. To which you would say, okay, the crib is not the baby and the baby's not the crib. Sometimes we put the baby in the crib in order to rest, recharge. But the baby does not want to stay in the crib long, and that's because the baby was not made for the crib. No, the baby was made for the world. And in the same way, the church was not made for the building. No, the church was made for the world. So maybe I could say it like this to y'all. Welcome to our crib, y'all. Some of you have been here before, but this right here is not the church. Because the church isn't a place, it's a people on mission together. Now I wanna do something a little different right now. I wanna illustrate this for you by going on an iPhone tour together. That's right, I said iPhone. We would not be able to do this if we weren't online, but we are online, so we're gonna do something creative. And I'm gonna take you on a tour of a few different places in which I and our church has gathered for church over the years. Hopefully this will help take you in the direction we wanna go today. So right now I'm gonna hand it off to Tyler, and Tyler is right down the street. Tyler, go ahead.
Well, thanks, Tyler. And this is Tyler here, reporting from my car in my driveway at my house. Let me explain. For those of you who don't know, we have been stitching our weekend services together in the week leading up. So we'll like record our worship one time, sermon another time, communion, intro, and we just sort of stitch it together and then click play at 5 p.m. on Saturday for our first service, which has been really interesting because it's totally flipped my schedule in my head. I now work Monday to Friday rather than weekends for the first time in my life, and I've kind of enjoyed it. But a few weeks ago, something went terribly wrong. It was Saturday night. I just finished working out. I was sweaty, sitting inside. It was about 5:30 p.m. and I was preparing to eat dinner, and I had the sermon on in the background. I was about halfway through when all of a sudden the audio on my sermon started to crackle, and then it completely fell out. So I picked up the phone and I called our team and I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, I don't know what's going on, but what we do know is that it's probably not coming back. And so in a moment of temporary insanity, some of y'all remember this Saturday, folks. Okay, raise your hands in the comment if you remember. In a moment of temporary insanity, I told them, cut the feed. I'm going live on my phone and finishing the sermon. And I did. Out here in my car, in my driveway. I did it in my car because my kids are running around like in their underwear and diapers in the house. And I know Palmer would have jumped in the video like, during the, you know, climactic moment of the sermon. So anyway, I didn't need that going viral. But I remember when I was preaching out here, two things hit me. One, I was like, well, this is where we're at now. Me, phone, driveway, this is church. And give me strength, Lord Jesus, because I didn't have my Bible. I didn't have a note. I didn't have time to prepare or pray. It was just pick up halfway through, on your mark, get set, go. But then I also remember feeling this overwhelming sense of joy because I watched as people jumped on. And before you know it, we had more people on that feed from my car than we had on the sermon feed before the audio shut down. And when I finished, I remember putting my phone down and having this healthy pride in our church, this confidence going forward. Because this is what I knew. COVID-19 could shut down our building, but there ain't nothing that can shut down our church, because our church is so much more than just a building.
Well, hey, I'm here right now at the University of Louisville baseball locker room. And the reason why I am here in a baseball locker room is because, for those of you who don't know, when I was 19 years old, 2006,
I actually planted my first church in a baseball locker room. I played college baseball in Charlotte, North Carolina. And my freshman year, I excelled on the field, but I totally tanked spiritually. It's hard to be a Christian and be a college baseball player, for the record. You've got 60-plus games on your schedule every night. It's like you're playing, practicing, doing schoolwork, traveling, and then weekends are shot because those are your weekend series, biggest games of the year. Sunday mornings, I was not in church. I was at the Ball Diamond by the crack of dawn, so I tanked. College boy sins, spiritual fallout, the whole nine yards. And I remember one night, freshman spring, I was sitting outside of a party at UNC Charlotte, and God convicted me. He basically said, Tyler, it's time for a change. And he was right. So I picked the phone up the next day, called my college baseball coach, and I said, Coach, it's time for a change. And I quit. I quit college baseball that day. Now, my college coach was a little too smart to just let his center fielder run off like that. So I'm not sure what he said next was necessarily spiritually motivated, but what he asked me next changed the trajectory of my life forever. He said, hey, Tyler, your dad's a preacher, right? I said, yeah. And he said, well, why don't you just start a church for us, for our team on Sunday mornings? We'll meet in locker rooms and training rooms and hotel rooms all up and down the East Coast. And so I did. Next weekend, we started church. There's three of us that came. It was me, one of our pitchers, Andrew, and my coach. But I believe God was there. Before we know it, 3 turned into 5, 5 turned into 10. By the end of the season, most of the guys on the team were coming to church. Then my sophomore year when we came back, we started this groundswell college ministry that ended up ministering to about half of the athletes on campus. It was incredible, life-shaping. And I say all this not to bring attention to me, okay? Understand. All right, let me show you something. Do you know what our first church services look like? They look like this. Okay. This is my Max Lucado devotional Bible. What I would do is I would walk into church services. I'd open this thing up. We'd read a few scriptures from it. I would read Max's devotional on that. It was about a paragraph or two. And then we would pray and be done. That simple. What? Okay, no, it's more complicated than that. My dad was a preacher, so he gave me one of those little to-go communion kits that you can take for shut-ins, and we would take communion from that. Then when we'd pray, everyone had to hug. And we would go play baseball. What a time that was. So look, if you ever wondered why I'm not all that impressed by church buildings, well, it's because I learned from the very beginning that God doesn't need a building to build the church. And here's what else you may not know. This right here is where Northeast Christian Church started. Zachary Taylor Elementary School, September 25th, 1977, Bob and Vicki Cherry, that's 9 years before I was born, by the way, right? Bob and Vicki Cherry planted Northeast in the gym. 71 people attended that first weekend. I think 29 decided to join, so it's pretty average sermon by Bob, but I guarantee you that first Sunday, Bob and Vicki had no idea what God was going to do through our church, and we still have no idea today. But here's what we know for sure. And this has been the principle that Northeast has been built on and has allowed it to thrive over 40 years later. While the methods of the church change, the mission of the church doesn't. While the buildings of the church may change, the business of the church never does. So that's why I know for a fact that when our church was planted back in 1977 by a scrawny little 25-year-old punk version of Bob Cherry, he could have never imagined preaching in a building like this. I mean, when I was 19 years old, I never could have imagined preaching to a building like this, especially not an empty room in a building like this. But you know, preaching to an empty room makes you think. And just the other day before I preached, I looked down and I saw this plaque. Let me show it to you. You may have seen it before. This plaque that we put down in the spot where the pulpit goes on our stage for Bob when he retired. It says, in honor of Bob Cherry for 38 years of biblical and practical preaching centered on Jesus. And you know, when I was looking at that plaque, it hit me. Bob only preached in this room for 5 of his 38 years preaching to this church. And you know, I want to spend my lifetime preaching here, but it made me think, I wonder where I'll spend my years preaching to this church. Will it be this building? Will we need bigger buildings? Will we need other buildings? Will it be online? Who knows? God knows. Tell you where I never expected to preach, though. I never expected to be preaching to you in your homes or on your back porch or in parking lots and cul-de-sacs and restaurants and bars all around our city and world. But that's where we find ourselves. And it proves to me that while the methods change, the mission doesn't. While the buildings of the church change, the business of the church never does. So here we are, doing church in our homes, wondering what's next. And I wish I could tell you, but I don't know how long we'll be doing church like this. But here's what I know for absolute certain. Our church can thrive through this. We would never pray for this, but our Lovelyville church was made for this. Isn't that right, Palmer Judah?
Right. Bye.
That's right. Now back to the main stage. To you, Tyler.
Well, thanks, Tyler. Cute kid you got there. And man, Tyler needs a haircut, doesn't he? It's getting pretty bad. No, but it's real talk, though. Seriously. It's true. I believe our church was made for this moment. Think about all the different details that God has woven together in our recent history to prepare us for COVID-19. For years now, we've been doing church online. We weren't like the earliest adopters, but we were early adopters of online ministry. And so when this happened and we had to go fully online, we were ready. For years now, we've had regular rhythms where we actually cancel church gatherings in order to go out into the community. This past Christmas, in between Christmas and New Year's, we actually took our church completely online. Before we knew about a pandemic, we took it completely online, and we did church online together. Talk about prep. Every single year for the last 5 or 6 years, we've done school blitz days, and we've chosen to do them on Sunday mornings. Why? Well, it's not because that's necessarily the best morning or the only morning we can go blitz the community. No, we've chosen to do them on Sunday morning in order to make a statement about what we believe, and that is the church isn't a place, it's a people on mission. And so we can do church here, but we can do church on public school campuses, serving, spreading mulch, painting walls, writing thank you notes all around our city. Why else do you think that our mission as a church is to unleash Jesus's love every day, everybody, everywhere, in the home, workplace, city, and church? Well, the reason why is because we believe a church built on that mission statement is not a church that's built on a really sweet Sunday service. That's a church that's built on an army of people who see it as their life calling to live cross-shaped lives. Love is not canceled. That's been our battle cry through this. And it makes sense for us because while buildings may be canceled and schools may be canceled and jobs may be canceled, recreation may be canceled, restaurants, bars may be canceled, vacations may be canceled, sports may be canceled, the economy may be canceled, the American way of life may be canceled, but I tell you this, the love of Jesus Christ is not canceled, which means we cannot be stopped, and we will not stop. So all that having been said, all that in front of your mind right now, here's what I want you to do with it. I want you to go to necchurch.org, that's necchurch.org/anywhere, and I want to encourage everyone to sign up now to host watch parties, and let's take church into the home for the next several weeks. Now, I know what some of your hesitations are. I know what your pushback is. So I want to address two of them right now in order to create perhaps some more comfort and confidence and what we're challenging you to do. First, I've already heard it from some people. Some people like Tyler, I would love to start a little church in my home, but I don't know how to lead a church. Well, here's the good news. You don't have to know how to lead a church. You don't need a seminary degree. You don't have to be called into the ministry, if you will, although all of us in a certain way are called into the ministry. But you don't have to be like called like Tyler, called like Bob Cherry in the ministry to lead something at your home. All you have to do is be able to click play Because it's as easy as clicking play. Have you ever hosted a Super Bowl party at your house before? You can do this. Have you ever done a cookout in your backyard before? You can do this. Have you ever pulled into the parking lot at McDonald's and stole their Wi-Fi to watch something on your phone? Then you can do this, right? Because it is literally that easy. And here's what we're doing to make it even easier for you. First, we've created an entire library of training videos by our pastors in order to coach you on how to get through the awkward times during the service. Like, if you think it's gonna be awkward to sing with 7 or 8 people in the room, Aaron and Corbin got together and they've created some training for you on how to make that work. We've created training around communion. We've created training around what to do with your kids. Like, I've got 3 kids running around the house and I need to figure out how to get them to shut up. Listen, we're gonna hand out muzzles at the church door. If you'll come by and we're not gonna do muzzles, but we might do muzzles if some of you need muzzles. We're gonna help you figure it out, all right? We've also developed a watch party helpline. You can call this number, 502-345-9337, and we'll have a pastor on the end ready to troubleshoot any house church problem, ready to troubleshoot anything that you have going on with your watch party. They can help you figure out, answer questions, pray for you, encourage you, whatever you need. You can call them and get that. Now, this third one's pretty cool. Every single weekend, we are going to send out weekly host guides. I think it's on Friday night, Saturday morning. You should get this in your inbox, which is why you must sign up. You'll get a host guide, and it'll lay out the order of the service for you. It'll give you helpful links, up-to-date safety tips, and it'll even show you how the service breaks out in different timestamps. So if you want to navigate to worship, if you want to navigate back to communion, forward to the sermon, whatever it may be, this host guide will be extremely valuable for you. We've developed a pastor match program. Every watch party leader, we'll have a pastor who is available and checking in with them. We're also gonna give surprise gifts. And who doesn't like prizes? If you like prizes, then just sign up for the heck of getting your name thrown in to get some prizes, because we're gonna give out prizes. And then last but certainly not least, we will be delivering weekly safety updates for you so that you can maintain safety in your home. Which is, I think, obstacle number 2 for many of us. For many of us, we're wondering, well, how do I make sure that we stay safe at my watch party? That is a great question. See, we're already taking a step towards safety by not gathering in our rooms, but instead taking it from hundreds together to 5 or 10 together in your home. I think that's a big step towards safety, but there are ways to keep it safe in your home. So let me lay out just a few things for you. First, you need to know that you'll get weekly safety updates from us. And we are only going to deliver to you the safety recommendations that we get from the CDC and from the government. That's it. We are not epidemiologists. We are not doctors. We are not experts in this. We're just pastors. And so we're going to deliver to you what our governing authorities deliver to us. We're recommending here at First that it be 10 or less, because that's what the governor has asked. And those 10 include kids, right? So you can't be like, well, there's only 10 adults, but we have 17 kids. Okay, 10 plus 17. Somebody do the math for them in the comment section, right? We want you to stick with close friends and family here at First. I think that will help engender confidence in the system. So your closest friends, your family members, perhaps it's already the folks who you're already doing church with. And we're asking everybody to wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart, and meet outdoors if possible. Church outside should be the priority anyways, okay? We need to figure out an outdoor venue because, I mean, it's beautiful outside. I'm hoping that we get some good weather on weekends coming up. But if you have to go inside, we've got some tips for you how to do that, opening up one room and only one bathroom, one door in, one door out. You can go to the next slide. And here's a fun tip. If you set up chairs beforehand, socially distanced apart, then you can already skirt some of the awkward conversations and make sure that you prepare your home for people to be safe. We're encouraging everyone to bring their own food, bring their own drinks. If you want to eat together, everybody just bring your own lunchbox. Bring some takeout with you. And we're encouraging everyone to bring their own communion at start. In fact, if you want some communion, we have some prepackaged communion here. And honestly, with the muzzles for your kids, you can stop by and grab those. Here's maybe the key, okay? The key is wherever you're at, you need to talk it out with your people ahead of time. Like, are you going to gather with family? Are you going to gather with friends? Doesn't matter. If you have any concerns at all, send the text today. Of course, after you sign up to host a watch party. Then send the text today and say, hey, here are my concerns. Here's what I'm working through. And no judgment. No raising our fist and saying, well, it's my right not to wear a mask. Well, it's my right to wear a mask. Let's not have infighting or disunity over this. Let's just submit to one another in a spirit of love and help our friends and family members feel safe so we can start gathering together again. And big picture, last thing here, if it's not safe, you can go to the previous slide. If it's not safe, like maybe you're a part of one of those vulnerable or sick groups or vulnerable or elderly groups. Maybe you're sick right now and you're especially vulnerable to the coronavirus, or maybe you're just still sort of anxious about it all. I just want to encourage you to wait. We'll still be online. You can watch it at home all by yourself or just with your spouse or just your immediate family if you need to. We're not changing anything about that. All right, that having been said, here's what I would encourage you to do right now. Pull out your phone and click on the app or go to necchurch.org/anywhere. I want to encourage you right now, everyone together, let's sign up. Let's host watch parties. And let's launch a new season for our church. Hey, even if you're already in a community group and you've registered that way, we also want you to register again as a watch party. Even if you're one of our new online groups and you've registered that way, register again. Even if you really don't plan on changing who you watch with because you're already watching with your like close family, we still want you to register as a watch party because we'll be able to communicate information to you and engender confidence in the process as we go forward, and perhaps are able to make these watch parties bigger and bigger as our state continues to open up. So again, no matter who you are, no matter when you think you'll be hosting a watch party, if that's something you're interested in, we want you to sign up. All right, I've been doing lots of asking, lots of explaining, lots of storytelling. I want to end by doing a little preaching. About 2,000 years ago, in the ancient Roman Empire, where Christianity was born, the Roman government had this social theory that they wrote into law called conventus. Basically, the idea was anywhere Roman citizens were gathered, doesn't matter how few, doesn't matter how many, anywhere Roman citizens were gathered for Roman purposes, that ground that they stood on was Roman ground, even if they were on the other side of the world. Basically functions like U.S. embassies function today. Even if a U.S. embassy is in another hemisphere, that's sovereign U.S. soil. And if somebody attacks one of our embassies, they might as well attack the state of Kentucky or the White House, because they violated the sovereignty of our ground. In the same way, that's how the ancient Romans saw it, when Romans were gathered for Roman purposes. Now, I believe that Jesus and his apostles actually built on this idea in the way they talk about the kingdom of God. It's all over the scriptures, but perhaps the most popular verse you've heard of before is a Jesus saying from Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there among them." Wow. And I wonder, do you actually believe that today? Do you believe that when we gather together, even if it's just two or three of us, Jesus is there in a significant, special way, validating our gathering, reveling in our worship, pouring out love upon us and filling us with the power of the Holy Spirit to be sent out of that? Do you believe that? See, if you do, that will reframe the way we think about church. If Matthew 18, 20 is true, then that means that when, I don't know, two people gather in a coffee shop on Frankfort Avenue, then the kingdom of God and Jesus' presence is there in a special way. If it is in fact true, that means when four or five of you, after a church service is over, go across the street to the Mexican restaurant and have lunch, the kingdom of God is there in a special way. That means when a community group decides to meet at Grater's and have an ice cream cone rather than going to somebody's house, the kingdom of God is there in a special way. That means when we gather in this room and we pack it out and there's 2,000 people overflowing into the alleyways out, the kingdom of God is there. It's here, right here in this room in a special way. Or if you're sitting right now on a back porch in LaGrange watching this on TV, the kingdom of God is there in a special way. If you're sitting at your table right now eating breakfast with your son as the sermon plays in the background, the kingdom of God is there in a special way. If you're with a couple of nurses and you're taking a break at the hospital right now because it's Sunday morning and you've been working the night shift and here you are, I want you to know that as you gather, the kingdom of God is there in a special way. Okay, and by the way, you don't even have to gather for the purpose of church. You don't have to be praying. You don't have to be singing. You don't have to be like listening to a sermon or something like that. You could just be sitting in silence with one of your friends, mourning with them as they suffer or go through hard times, comforting them. And if there are two or more gathered, then the kingdom of God and the presence of Jesus is there, right there in that moment, in a significant way. Now, why does that matter to us? Well, it matters because next week, we're gonna have gatherings pop up all over the Ville, all over the state of Kentucky, all over the country, some in homes, some in backyards, some in cul-de-sacs, parking lots. I don't know where all you're gonna gather, but we're gonna have them pop up everywhere. And here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that no matter where you gather, if two or more gather in Jesus' name, the kingdom of God is there, just like it is here on our normal Sundays. I want you to know that you can worship there, you can connect there, and you can grow there, just like here. And I want you to know that you can be inspired, empowered, and then sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit there, just like you can when you come here. See, you wanna know one of the things that's messed up about the mega church, if you will? Okay, and this is a mega church. I love our church. But one of the things we do is we subconsciously, and we don't do this on purpose, all right? It just happens. We subconsciously communicate to everyone sitting in the seats that in order for church to happen, you got to get a bunch of people in a room and you got to have professional musicians on stage and there needs to be like moving lights, Jesus smoke, and a motivational speaker, and then it'll be church. And that's what's holding some of you back from stepping up and hosting a watch party in your house because you think that you have to replicate what we do here in order for the church to be there. And that couldn't be any further from the truth. In fact, if anyone tells you that somehow what we do at our Brownsboro Clifton campus is more authentic than what you're going to do at your house next week, then I want you to know that they're wrong. Because when two or more gather, in the name of Jesus, the kingdom of God is there in a powerful way. So I want to encourage you, church, to lean into this season. Sign up and lean into the season of doing church differently. Because if we do, here's what I can promise you. Our church is going to grow. And I can promise you that you're going to grow as you lay your church preferences and your comfort zone at the altar of God. And here's what else I know. We are going to reach people for Jesus that we never would have otherwise. All because we lean in to this new season. You do realize that the vast majority of the United States of America does not and will not come to church in a church building on a Sunday morning. Whether it's because of their past experience in church or their distrust for the institution of church, or maybe they just don't care. They're apathetic and they don't care. But they're not gonna come here, at least not first. But you know where they will go? They'll go to a cookout in their friend's backyard. They'll show up at a gathering in a family member's living room. And perhaps there, where just a few of you are gathered in the name of Jesus, you could make a life-changing introduction to one of your friends, Jesus. So let's lean into this season. Let's lean into it. And if we do, here's what I know. We'll come back stronger. And that has been my prayer for our church, that we would come back stronger. Now here's what I'm gonna do right now. I wanna actually enter into a time of prayer where for just a couple of minutes, I wanna pray a prayer of ordination over all the leaders in our church who are about to step up over the coming weeks and lead church, start watch parties in your homes. So if you will, if that's you right now, I just want you to open your hands and receive this, and I'm gonna extend my hands, and on behalf of our elders and staff here, I want to pray over you right now. Heavenly Father, I pray a prayer of ordination over the priesthood of all believers at Northeast Christian Church in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Send them out. Send them out to be the church. to make the kingdom of God present all over the city, country, and world. Today we pray, God, that you would raise up workers for the harvest. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Today we pray that you would energize the lazy. Don't let anyone make this a secondary priority. That you would initiate the forgetful. Don't let anyone who wants to do this allow this to leave their mind. No, make them vigilant and proactive. Today we pray that you soften the hard hearts. You soften the hard heads. The people who might push back against change or against something that's different. God, lead them to lay down their church preferences in this season for the sake of the church. We ask that you heal the shamed. There's nothing that should be shameful or embarrassing about worshiping Jesus in small groups with other people. We ask you to encourage the doubters in this room. Those who just began their journey with Jesus, let this be a season where they just put you to the test by trusting in you. Today we pray, God, that you would remind us that you use the ordinary. If there is a spirit of insecurity or fear in any heart in our church, I rebuke that today. And I ask that you replace that with a spirit of power, confidence in you. Today we pray for spiritual maturity. Grow us through this season. Today we pray for leadership development. Develop our leaders with spiritual depth. Make our bullpen bigger. Make our bullpen better so that we come back 100 stronger of people who have real on-the-ground experience of leading church in their various contexts. Today we pray, God, for reach. Let us reach people that we never could have imagined and that we never could have thought of otherwise. Take the church to places it never could have gone otherwise. Today we pray for safety. We want faith over fear, no doubt, but we want wisdom over foolishness as well. And today we pray for patience, perseverance, and commitment. Let this not be a fad that we lean into for a couple weeks and then we let fall by the wayside as we move through the summer. Most importantly today, God, remind us today that throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit came in power on people gathered in homes. And let our homes next week be evidence that the Holy Spirit is still alive and well, active and working through his church today. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that I send our church. Amen.